Välkomna till denna kväll, till en speciell kväll. Vi är inte jättemånga här ikväll, men låt oss tänka att detta är en magisk stund bara för oss som är här. Christian ska nämligen bjuda på recitation av bibeltexten utan till på engelska. Jag har därför skrivit ut Johannes kapitlen här i programbladet, så om man vill kan man följa med där också. Han inleder dock med några berättelser ur de synoptiska evangelierna och avslutar också med ett utdrag därifrån. Och så varvar han då med sin egen komponerade musik för fiol och visar bilder som han själv har tagit från det heliga landet. Innan jag säger någonting mer så måste jag bara ta en praktisk sak här. Det är så att på söndagarna så kan vi parkera runt omkring kyrkan och så där, och på Pauligårdens parkering utan att registrera oss eller så. Men så här på en vardagskväll så får man inte stå runt kring kyrkan. Det står en vit bil på kyrkbacken som tyvärr måste flyttas. Jag vet inte om det är någon av er som har stått hela dagen. Ja, okej. Okay. Ja, men då... Då är det så. Och om någon har ställt sig på Pauligårdens parkering så behöver man ange sitt registreringsnummer på läsplatta längst bak. Ja, Christian och jag, vi studerade tillsammans på musikskolan i Oslo på slutet av 90-talet. Och sen så har Christian sedan dess gjort väldigt många spännande saker i sitt liv. Han bor i Egypten, i Kairo, på en ö i Nilen. Och har flera sådana här program där han reciterar utan till. Han var här för 2 år sedan och gjorde hela Markus evangeliet utan till också. Och sedan har han också en föreställning där han berättar om en period i sitt liv då han reste tillsammans med sopsorterare i Egypten. Ja, om ni vill så kan ni prata mer med honom efteråt. Han har väldigt mycket spännande att berätta. Det är någonting som händer när vi får bibeltexten så här i ett svep, upplever jag. Vi stannar ofta till vid enstaka partier och enstaka verser och mediterar och försöker förstå det. Och det har förstås också sin poäng. Men av egen erfarenhet så upplever jag att det är väldigt fint ibland att få de stora svepen. Man upptäcker lite nya saker i texten och den får liv på ett lite annat sätt. Det är precis som att det pågår ett skeende hela tiden. Så hoppas att ni också upplever det så ikväll. Innan vi låter klockorna ringa så ber vi en bön. Tack Herre för den här kvällen och vi ber om din välsignelse. Vi ber att du talar till oss genom bibeltexten och Christians musik. Och vi tackar dig förstås också för det du har gjort för oss. Att du gick lidandets väg för vår skull. För att besegra det onda. Vi lägger oss själva och allt i dina händer. Amen.
Thank you. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat mending the nets. And immediately Jesus called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Jesus went up on the mountain. He called for those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 of them and called them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. He appointed the 12 first, Simon, whom he named Peter, and James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, whom he named Boanerges, meaning sons of thunder, and Andrew and Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Jesus called the 12 again and began to send them out two by two, giving them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, and no money in their belts. He allowed them to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. And he told them, "When you enter a house, stay there until you leave that area. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet and leave that place as a testimony against them." And so they went out and preached that the people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many who were sick with oil and healed them. And one time, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had sent them away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already far from land, tossed by the waves because the wind was ahead of them. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus spoke up at once, "Take courage, for it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord," Peter replied, "command me to come to you on the water." "Come," said Jesus. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me!" Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and took hold of Peter. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Jesus and his disciples went out to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he questioned his disciples, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." Okay. "And you," Jesus asked, "who do you say I am?" Then Peter replied, "But you are the Christ." And Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, that he must be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke this message openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But Jesus, turning and looking at his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan! You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There, he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiantly white, brighter than any launderer on earth could bleach them. Elijah and Moses appeared before them, talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here, for let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For they were all so terrified that Peter did not know what else to say. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them except Jesus. And one time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone else driving out demons, and in your name. We tried to stop him because he's not with us." Jesus replied, "Do not stop him, for no one who performs a miracle in my name can turn around and speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. Indeed, if anyone gives you even a cup of water because you bear the name of Christ, truly I tell you, he will never lose his reward. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be thrown into the sea. For if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 hands and go into hell. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and go into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with 1 eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies And the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Now, salt is good, but if the salt loses its saltiness, with what will you season it? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with one another. Now they were bringing the little children to Jesus for him to place his hands upon them. But his disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he became indignant and told them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and declared, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "Hiya. Okay. So what do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. They answered, "We want that one of us may sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." Jesus replied, "You do not understand what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" "Yes. Yes. Yes, we can," they replied. Jesus said, "Okay, you will drink the cup that I drink and you will be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. To sit at my right or my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom they have been prepared." And when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. But Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their superiors shall Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of all." As the day of his ascension approached, Jesus set out for Jerusalem. He sent messengers ahead who went into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But the people there refused to welcome him. Why? Because he was heading for Jerusalem. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. They came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho with a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" Many rebuked him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Then Jesus stopped and said, call him. And so they called the blind man. Take courage, they said. He's calling for you. Throwing off his cloak, Bartimaeus jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Rabboni, said the blind man, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, for your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent out two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village ahead of you. As soon as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it and will return it shortly. And so they went and found the colt tied at the door outside in the street, and they untied it. Some who were standing there asked, why are you untying the colt? The disciples answered as Jesus had instructed them, and the people gave them permission. Then they led the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, and he sat on it. Many in the road spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut from the fields. And the ones who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Then Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. There, he looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. And the next day, when they had left Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see if there was any fruit on it. But when he reached it, he found nothing on it except leaves, since it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat of your fruit again. And his disciples heard it. They came to Jerusalem. And when Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those selling doves, and he would not permit that anyone should carry a vessel through the temple courts. Then he began to teach them. Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers? And when the chief priests and scribes heard this, they looked for a way to kill him. For they were afraid of him because the whole crowd was astonished at his teaching. But when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree withered from its roots. Peter remembered it and said, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you curse has withered. But Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Truly I tell you that if anyone says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and has no doubt in his heart, but believes that it will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. But when you stand to pray, if you hold anything against another, forgive it, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your trespasses as well. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. It was now just before the Passover feast. And Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the very end. Now the evening meal was underway, and the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had delivered all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the supper, laid aside his outer garments, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel that was around him. He came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "Never shall you wash my feet," Peter told him. Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not only my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus told him, "Whoever has already bathed needs only to wash his feet and will be completely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. That is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garments, he reclined with them again and said, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because I am. So if I, your Lord and your teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example so that you should do as I have done for you. Truly, truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And if you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Though I am not speaking about all of you, for I know whom I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture: the one who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it comes to pass, you will believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever receives the one I sent receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." After Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, perplexed as to which of them he meant. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining at his side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus which one he was talking about. leaning back against Jesus, he asked, "Who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this morsel after I have dipped it." Then he dipped the morsel and gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. And when Judas had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said to Judas, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the table knew why Jesus had said this to him. Since Judas kept the money bag, some thought that Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. And as soon as he had received the morsel, Judas went out into the night. When Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. And if God is glorified in him, God will also glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little while longer. Yes, you will look for me. But as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. And a new commandment I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, you also must love one another. For by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Lord, where are you going? Simon Peter asked. Jesus answered, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later. Lord, said Peter, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Will you lay down your life for me? Jesus asked. Truly, truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe in me as well. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I prepare a place for you, I will come back and welcome you into my place so that you may be where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and I've seen him. Lord, said Philip, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus replied, Philip, 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 have I been with you all this time, and still you do not know me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own. Instead, it is the Father dwelling in me, doing his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or, at least believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I am doing. And he will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask the Father in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. And in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him. Judas Not Iscariot asked him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him. If anyone does not love me, he will not keep my words. The word that you hear is not my own, but it is from the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have told you. Peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. I do not give to you as the world gives. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, and every branch that does bear fruit, he purges to make it even more fruitful. You are already purged because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit by itself, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. For this is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, proving yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, remain in my love. How? Well, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And this is my commandment to you. Love one another, just as I have loved you. For greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And you are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, because everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will do for you. And this is my commandment to you, love one another. If the world hates you, know that it hated me first. If you were of the world, it would hate you as its own. Sorry, it would love you as its own. Instead, the world hates you because you're not of the world, though I have chosen you out of the world. Remember the word that I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you as well. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours as well. But all these things they will do to you because of my name, since they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But when the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also will testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have told you these things so that you will not fall away, for they will put you out of the synagogues. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father or me. But I have told you these things so that when their hour comes, you will remember that I told you about them. I did not tell you these things from the beginning because I was with you. Now, however, I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Instead, your hearts are filled with sorrow because I have told you these things. I tell you the truth. It is for your benefit that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will no longer see me. Concerning judgment, because the prince of this world has been condemned. And I still have much to tell you, but you cannot yet bear to hear it. However, when the Spirit of Truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and he will declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me by taking from what is mine and declare to you. Everything that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take from what is mine and declare to you. In a little while, you will see me no more. And then after a little while, you will see me. Some of his disciples asked, why is it telling us in a little while you will not see me, and then after a little while you will see me? And also he says, because I'm going to the Father. And they kept asking one another, why is he saying in a little while and then after a little while? We do not understand what he's saying. Jesus, being aware that they wanted to question him, said to them, are you asking one another why I said in a little while you will not see me? And then after a little while, you will see me? Truly, truly, I tell you, you will weep and you will wail while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn into joy. A woman has pain in childbirth because her time has come. But when she brings forth her child, she forgets her anguish because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will come again. And in that day, you will not ask me for anything. Truly, truly, I tell you, Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have spoken these things to you in figures of speech. An hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you this way, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. And in that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world, and in turn, I will leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said, "See, now you're speaking plainly and without figures of speech. Now we understand that you know all things and that you have no need for anyone to question you. Because of this, we believe that you came from God." "Do you now believe?" Jesus asked. "Behold, an hour is coming and has already come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage, for I have overcome the world." When Jesus had spoken these things, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you give him authority over all people, so that he may give eternal life to all those you have given him. I have glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed your name to all those you have given me. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now, they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I have given them the words you gave me, and they have received them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And in them I have been glorified. I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected and preserved them by your name, the name you gave me. Not one of them has been lost, except for the Son of Destruction, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now I am coming to you. I am saying these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have my joy fulfilled within them. I have given them your words, And the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one, for they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so have I sent them into the world. And for them I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I am not asking on behalf of them alone, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that all of them may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in them, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them just as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, so that they may see the glory you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, although the world has not known you, I know you, and they know that you sent me. I have made your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that the love you have for me may be in them and I in them. when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I never will." Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But Peter kept insisting, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the others said the same thing. They came to a place called Gethsemane. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." Then he took with him Peter, James, and John. He became deeply troubled and distressed, and he said to them, "My soul is consumed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." Going on a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour would pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me, but not what I will, but what you will." Then Jesus returned and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Were you not able to keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Then he went away and prayed, saying the same thing. And when Jesus returned again, he found them sleeping again, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And when he returned a third time, he said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? That is enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go, for my betrayer is near." And while Jesus was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a crowd armed with swords and clubs. They were sent from the elders, chief priests, and scribes. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them: "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away securely." And going directly to Jesus, he said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. Then the men seized Jesus and arrested him. One of the bystanders drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus asked the crowd, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as against a robber to arrest me? Every day I was with you teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me. But this has happened so that the scripture might be fulfilled." Then everyone deserted him and fled. One young man who had been following Jesus was wearing a linen cloth around his body. They caught hold of him, but he pulled free from the linen cloth and ran away naked. Tack så mycket.